Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's hottest podcast network.
Just a quick disclaimer. We are not medical doctors, therapists, or dietitians. So please check with an allied health professional before making any changes.
Hello, and welcome to Super Gym Friends. I'm Adam.
I'm Joe.
And I'm Zach.
And this week in Fit
Recovery!
Wow!
The one we don't need to do!
Because you don't work out hard enough up top. Recovery from a normal thing or just recovery after like fucking up and injuring yourself?
We're going to be going through all different forms of recovery today.
Give us point one.
So, the first... Don't look at my notes.
I like looking
He's a
at
notorious
notes.
Cheater. You got
to accept
this.
All my
this.
Secrets in there.
Yeah, you know, he's a notorious cheater.
I'm
he will...
cheat. Yeah, I'm going to start writing messages in the middle of it, and it's going to look like everything else just for you.
Yeah. All right.
So you'll be going through.
Oh,
read
no.
It,
you mean you'll
like,
give
Ooh.
Me little, beautiful, personalized messages? I'd hate that.
Did
You're
I
playing
say
into his hands.
They
you
were
know,
nice
you're just
things?
Into his hands.
You wrote them for me. It doesn't fucking matter what you've said.
Hey.
You stopped and considered me in your day-to-day life.
Yeah. I feel like that's a problematic. That's gonna lead to problems
him.
In the future.
You can. He's a bad boy, Adam. You've got this. Now, what are we recovering from?
So we're gonna start with like the smallest bit of recovery that we're gonna be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be our in-session recovery. So inter-set recovery.
Yep.
The recovery that we're gonna do between sets.
Uh-huh. So that's to build up our ATPPC and the
anaerobic
and aerobic. You're not going to have so aerobic will yeah. So aerobic's only going to fatigue through like muscular fatigue,
mm-hmm.
but that's not really going to occur with the sort of exercise that we're going to be doing in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
But we will be creating fatigue depending on what we're doing. So for our really heavy compound lifts, where we go for like that 1 to 5 reps,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be fatiguing the ATPPC system
mm-hmm.
really heavily.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to be lifting to the same extent, the same ability that we were on our first set, for our second and third set, we want to be going for some really long recovery times.
Okay.
So typical recommendation is normally 60 seconds. We're throwing that out the window. We're going long recovery.
Okay.
So there's evidence to suggest that up to 8 minutes, mm-hmm. if not more, is going to continue to lead to greater hypertrophy.
Okay.
So, well, not greater hypertrophy, greater exercise performance.
Mm-hmm.
Bring your pillow.
There is definitely, look, if you want to look at some funny videos, there's like memes of people kind of banging on power lifters where they do their set and then throw their doona over and go for a nap. It's not entirely wrong, to be honest.
Okay.
I'm very guilty of going for some 15-minute rests just because I'm in quotes having conversations with people because I will seek them out.
Who, what person have you been working out with where you have a really long conversation?
Yeah, both of you bugalugs, definitely.
What you're saying is we're getting like really good workouts because we take 20-minute breaks.
Legitimately having the longer rest breaks with me will allow you to push the exercise that you're doing further. So a good example of that is, so even the same thing happens with that 12 to 15 reps or like more of that in our hypertrophy zone where, for example, if we do 15 reps at 100 kilos on bench press, that's a fucking heavy lift, mm-hmm. whatever. Doesn't matter. It's just the example. So we do 15 reps on the first set. If we have a 60 second recovery, we might only be able to achieve 10 reps on the next set. Then we do that again for our third, and then we might only be able to get 8 or 5 because there's not a lot of time for our ATP PC to be restored into the muscles, and it's not a lot of time for the lactic acid to be removed.
Okay.
If we had any buildup. By taking the longer rest, saying, so we go for 2 minutes, then we might be able to get an extra 2 reps on top of that. So instead of going down to 10 reps on our second set, we might be able to get to 12 reps. But then going up to that 8, if not more, even not longer, so 8 minutes or more, then we can really milk it out and get 14 to 15 reps for our preceding sets. So this is where in my programming for people who like train with me, if you tell me I can do a 2 hour session versus a 60 minute session, I won't always give you too much or too many extra exercises to do. However, what having the longer session time will allow us to do is I can program for a lot longer rest breaks where you will then be able to push each set harder because your body's able to recover more.
Okay.
The reason that those are important is because when we're able to put the same weight for more reps, we're going to be putting more tensile stimulus on the muscle, which is then going to lead to greater hypertrophy or strength-based outcomes.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's your basic recovery in session.
Yeah, and I think going a little bit deeper into it as well, it's also important to understand that different exercises and different muscles are going to have different needs for recovery as well. So like we were talking about before, the compound lifts in particular are going to be the most fatiguing on the body, particularly squats and deadlifts. So let's go for the easy one. So talking about overhead press and bench or even pull-ups, these are like these big compound movements. But when working with the upper body, there is a lot of musculature being involved. However, it's not nearly as much as being involved when we're doing squats or deadlifts. So bench press is going to recruit the chest, triceps, and maybe a little bit of the shoulder, mm-hmm. as well as a little bit of isometric work through the wrist mm-hmm. and some other muscles. But they're the main ones. And that's a lot of muscle, but it's not a huge amount. Whereas when we look at a squat or a deadlift, there's going to be the entirety of the leg musculature is going to be switched on, which the legs are obviously a lot bigger than the upper body. They're huge, as well as we're going to need to be doing a lot more work in our core to stabilize the lower back to keep it safe, as well as we're going to be recruiting different muscles in the back and the arms in order to keep everything upright and locked in place. So a lot of isometric work in the upper body, as well as concentric and eccentric work in the lower body. So because of this, it's just going to be that much more taxing. So not all compounds are made equal. The more lower body compounds, so deadlifts and squats, are going to be far more taxing than our upper body and therefore may require a little bit of extra recovery than what a bench or a pull-up might.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. And then so going into our isolations as well. So compounds versus isolations. Isolations are going to be, there are single joint exercises, but they're also not going to be using a huge number of muscles. So there will be like one of my old misconceptions was like thinking like compounds or isolations, it's using one muscle group. They're not going to be using one muscle group, but they'll only have one main focus where a fly will be having some isometric work in the wrist and the bicep and maybe a little bit of shoulder. But the main muscle working is going to be the chest.
I am so stupid. I thought you were talking about an actual fly.
I'm talking about the movie The Fly.
Yes. The Goldblum remake or the original?
Yes.
All right.
The good one.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. So with that, because there's only one muscle which is going to be dominating throughout the movement, it's going to tax the body a lot less. So isolations over compounds, isolations will require a little bit lower recovery times. And then even going deeper into that, the different muscles, isolating different muscles will also require different recovery times, where the shoulders and calves in particular, and even the forearms, they're going to be quite fatigue resistant, where you can do a higher work, so higher volumes on them, going into the high reps, but then they'll also recover quite quickly versus something like the chest when doing flies or even the arms.
So you know how our workouts should be full body?
For you guys in particular, yes.
Oh, I'm just talking about in general because I remember, like, ultimately you kind of want to be, maybe I'm wrong.
Anyway. You mean a single workout or throughout the week you want to be training the full body?
I was talking about a single workout, but...
So depending on your how many times a week you can train,
yes.
We do train upper and lower. But we'll get into that.
Forget what I just said then. If I am working on my legs, I'm doing like a full body exercise.
Mm-hmm.
A full body workout, sorry. And I am working on my legs. I'm doing, I don't know, squats or something like that. And then I finish a set and I'm like, all right, I'm waiting now till I can start that new set. Why can I not in between work on my arms?
Gotcha. Yep. So the reason that we don't want to work on the arms in between is because of adenosine triphosphate phosphocreatine system. Mm-hmm. This is why the energy systems were important. It came back.
Oh, no. We weren't paying attention.
Yeah. So there will be a certain amount of stored energy within the body. It's in the muscle tissues, but it's essentially going to be draining all of that. And so you'll be fatiguing the energy system where if you were to go straight from legs to the arms, you wouldn't be able to push the arms as hard as if you do a set of legs. Fully recover from it and then do a set of arms.
So where does our body store that energy?
It's just kind of like, it's when I say stored energy, it's just going to be created. So you're going to like burn it up. It's
okay.
Man, what a great question. In the muscle tissue.
Is it centrally stored or stored locally?
They're going to be stored in the muscles, but you're going to be fatiguing the energy system as a whole and the production of it.
Okay. Okay, I think I understand.
Yep.
So it's kind of like, it's stored locally, mm-hmm. but there's like a, it's so.
You're going to be continuing to produce more beyond what the local stores is.
Yeah.
And that is going to be decreased.
So it's like I go to one Coles and I take all of their beans. Sorry, I got this international. I go to a supermarket. Mm-hmm. I go to Piggly Wig International.
Yep.
And I go to their Carlton supermarket and I clear mm-hmm. them out of beans. And then I go to their Collingwood one and I clear that one out of beans as well.
Yep.
And when I go back to Carlton and they're like, oh, we're having trouble restocking beans. I'm like, why? And they're like, well, Collingwood and Carlton now both need more beans.
Yeah. That's actually really good enough. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Sweet.
All right. So current analogy is supermarkets.
Oh my God.
Zach has given us the blessing on this one.
Keep track of it. Yeah. It's going to be important later. It's not. Yeah. So there's different muscle groups where they're going to be different fatigue resistant. And so the reason full body works well is that we can also feel different levels of fatigue in different ways that the body's going to recover.
Mm-hmm.
So there's say for your like 12 to 15 reps on bicep curls.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to really feel that burn in the muscle, the pump, as all the blood and nutrients get sent there. And it gets to a point where it's like really tight and you just don't feel like you can bring it up high enough.
Mm.
But you're feeling the muscle quite strongly.
Yeah.
And then there's also when we're doing those low rep exercises, mainly for compounds, and we're pushing it super heavy and we're going super hard. And what you might find is that you won't be feeling it in the muscles as strongly once you finish the set. But you still get to a point where you can't push it any further. You can't get that last rep out. And so the reason for that is because they're going to be the energy system versus the muscular fatigue, but then the central nervous system is also going to be playing a part into that. So the central nervous system is essentially our brain's connection to the muscle through the motor neurons.
Mm.
So the brain is going to be sending signals in order for the muscles to function and to contract and to do all the fun stuff that we want them to do. But that is going to take a certain amount of effort as well. And so the brain has a limit to how many signals it can send all at once for a certain period of time. Because that takes energy, that takes effort to do.
That makes
sense.
And
so we're going to start to fatigue that as well. But we'll get more into central nervous system or long-term central nervous system fatigue a little bit later.
Okay. So this is just basically just exhaustion. Just be like, I can't literally do anything more else because I can't think. I can't do anything because they just have no energy left.
Yeah, exactly. That's why after doing like, so this is what I like to do for my leg days where I'll do squats, Bulgarian split squats, glute bridges. And after that, I just feel tired. The muscles don't feel particularly sore, but you just feel really tired. And it's because it's a lot of heavy compounds where you're using big musculature and taxing the central nervous system. So you don't feel the burn in the muscle, or you don't feel like the muscle is like done, but you energy wise, like you feel
Carlton and
a little
Collingwood,
bit more lethargic.
Carlton and Collingwood have both had their beans stores resupplied, but the central processing network has been reduced of its beans.
In order to restock the beans, they've had to send out a bunch of trucks.
Yeah.
But then because they used all of their drivers up, the truck drivers now have to go on break. So there's less drivers to go out to deliver more stuff.
Sounds like a great mobile game I'd like to play.
Sure. That's kind of, yeah, that's essentially, it's like what's going to be doing the transport of signals.
Okay.
And then, so that's our interset rest. Now, in between workouts, what we want to do is have, depending on the way that your split is structured, you basically want to be having between 2 to 3 days recovery between training a muscle group. So the reason that full body works when you do 3 days a week is because you're going to be training each muscle group, but then you have at least 2 to 3 days between training again. Whereas an upper lower split, once we get into 4 days, if we were to just do full body 4 days a week, one of the problems that you incurred would be a recovery problem where you are now training certain muscle groups too close in proximity to each other.
Okay. Yep.
So you having, get,
sorry, please go on.
Yeah. If you were to do full body, so doing upper lower for 4 days is good because you can go upper lower rest, upper lower rest. And now there's 2 days between your upper body sessions and 2 days between your lower body sessions. So it's giving your body enough time to recover from, as you were saying before, DOMS, which stands for?
Delayed onset muscle soreness.
Yeah. That's it. That's that feeling where you've just done a really heavy workout and then 1 to 2 days later,
everything's sore.
You squeeze your chest or you sit down and you go, oh, the muscles are sore. They're tight. And so we want to wait for those DOMS to fully recover before, or at least as close to fully recover before we go into another session.
Okay.
And so what's, yeah, with that, we also want to be, it's a balance between recovery and frequency, and that's where splits really take the shine, or a well-structured split versus like a body day split. Because the other thing we don't want to do is leave too much time between training a muscle group where it's got this time where it could be recovering, because through recovery, we have adaptations. So the adaptations, like the positive adaptations that we want in the body, occur when we recover. So if you say have, you're training 3 days a week, but your split is a push-pull leg split, well, you're doing pushing muscles, so chest, shoulder, triceps on Monday, but then you've got 7 days until you're going to be training your chest, shoulders, and triceps again. And so they recover by the first few days. So by Thursday, your chest is fully recovered. Your triceps are fully recovered, and same as the shoulders. So now that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. All of that time, you could have applied a new stimulus to the muscle for which it to recover from, so that you can create new adaptations to really advance your progress.
Right.
But because the split wasn't structured well, you don't. So that's why... that's why we change it up, where you could go, yeah, instead of like full body every day, or full body for 3 days works well because you're training each muscle group. You're not getting as much volume on each muscle. So volume being how many sets of each muscle group you use, but you are optimizing for the frequency.
All right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think in a way I'm sort of getting my head around it. Yeah. All right. That's making a level of sense. I think there was like this episode, a lot of just me and Adam just soaking this in, because I'm like, okay, yeah, that, okay, not much to add, because like, I mean, like, that makes a lot of sense.
Any questions so far?
No questions, no bits.
Yeah, no. We're being nice.
We're churning through this one.
Yeah, we are. We're going a bit too fast. Let's slow this down.
Yeah, yeah. We'll,
all right. Let's get a bit. All right. Zaman, give me a name, a place, and an occupation.
No. So I guess this comes down to, like, in terms of recovery, is it all up to the individual of, like, say, for example, myself, I'm like, okay, I'm taking a bit of time off because of injury.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm giving myself that time to recover. And in doing so, I'm doing, say, more cardio stuff. So I'm doing some sort of, like, more things on the treadmill.
Yep.
And because of that, that's sort of, like, impacting sort of legs and joints and those kind of stuff. So in that regards, I'm sort of giving what is my injured muscles very much a recovery.
Yep.
But now I'm sort of like getting those, I don't know if it's DOMS or it wouldn't be lactic acid buildup, because that would only happen during the exercise.
That's short term.
So for like doing a run, for example,
mm-hmm.
if I'm like, oh, my joints are a bit tender, or like the hip flexors or those
so
kind of things.
So joints are not DOMS. Okay. So DOMS are specifically in the muscle tissue.
Yep.
That's just like sore joints.
Joints aren't DOMS.
That's just like a
maniac.
I know.
It's essentially like an acute injury.
Say like your hip flexors are a bit tight. Because like, again, using myself as more of an example, I'm like, okay, well now I'm running more or jogging more.
So the thing with stiffness is that it's not great. That's kind of like, it's not a good thing that that's kind of occurring. So stiffness is kind of the body's reaction to having... to you putting it in a position where it doesn't like.
Okay.
So, for example, like if when we're doing running, say we're running in a particular way that is going to be very, there's a lot of force going through the body when we mm-hmm. run. And so if the muscles stay loose, so you have good mobility for say, in your hips,
mm-hmm.
you might not have proper stability for that mobility. So then what happens is the muscles are going to get tight mm-hmm. around the joints, which aren't properly stable, so that you can't move them into positions that would be compromising under the forces that you're putting them in for running.
Right.
Your body's internal, like, cordoning off a road and being like, get the fuck out of here, you idiot. You tore this road up. You put your tire chains on and you drove down it. You don't get this road for a little while. Fuck you. And
essentially,
then your body spits in your face.
Yeah, it's like the body, it's a protective mechanism which is going to stop you from getting injured, because the body doesn't want to get injured.
Right.
And
so basically when it comes to sort of that kind of stuff, like when it comes to recovery, it's kind of like, how do you tell the difference between, I guess, what is an injured thing like that where your body is like, no, stop, to something to be like, oh, that's like a little, like a niggling feeling, or that's just like, those are DOMS that I can kind of like push through and do something else.
I think the only real way is to just experience it.
Okay.
There's different, like, I guess you can take the ligaments or like the muscles through their range of motion and see how that feels, because certain things will feel different. Like mm-hmm. if it's in the joint, it's probably not a good thing. The mm-hmm. joints are not meant to be working hard during exercise. The muscles are. So joints notoriously just like, that's not a good sign. Mm-hmm. But the problem is with like niggling feelings, they're just as important to me as a real, like a full injury, because that's how we get our full injuries, is we ignore the niggling. Okay. Bits and pieces.
The fun challenge of learning how to listen, I suppose, is that if you want to learn, you need to have someone talking. In this case, your body.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And it's one of those things where you hear people after they've been like training for a while say like, I can really understand my body. I've learned to listen to my body. And being outside or not having the ability to do that yourself, you might be like, what does that mean?
Mm.
But it's essentially you understand what all the different, or at least a lot of the different kind of variables in your life
mm-hmm.
are causing your body, how your body to react. So when something changes and then your body reacts a certain way, mm-hmm. a different way, you can now understand what it's talking about. Okay. Whereas if you're sitting down all the time, you're eating whatever you want, you're doing all these different things, you're not going to have enough stability in your lifestyle or enough consistency in your lifestyle to really understand what different changes are going to create, as well as you're not just going to have that like awareness of your body.
All right.
Too.
Because for me, again, maybe I'm speaking, maybe some other people might feel this way as well. It's I'm like, okay, well, I have like, say, that niggling feeling, or mm-hmm. I'm like, I've done some sort of like glute work, so my glutes are quite tender, and so it's very much those dumb feeling, but then they kind of pull like the legs and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, part of me is like, okay, well, I need to rest because like, I've overworked, or I've worked to a point where I'm like, I'm definitely feeling it, so I should recover.
Yeah.
But there's another part of me, I'm like, am I using that as an excuse to not do things so then I just don't have to move because that's what I like to do?
That's a great question. And it's a tough one to answer because it's going to be like most things in the fitness industry, it depends.
Fair.
It's going to be individual based. If it's a, I think the best way to do it is to, man, it's really individualistic based. Okay. So if you feel like DOMS, well, no, just listen to your body and then start to work around. If you're going like, cool, my legs are sore, I'm not going to train upper body, you know, there's a problem there. That is laziness. But with a well-structured training program, when the legs are feeling sore, you will be training upper body. So it's fine. And then when you do feel those niggling pains, you go, cool, I'm going to stop what I'm doing, or I'm going to take a session where I don't go as hard, or I take a session where I'm going to be working through this niggling issue.
Yeah.
Yes, Adam. This feels insane to me because I don't know if I'm, I don't think I'm like great at listening to my body, which is a funny thing to say, but also I don't think I could ever get confused. Like if my body is like, we're tired, I'm like, yes. But if my body was ever like, you have put me in a compromised position, it's happened a few times. I immediately.
But when the body says we're tired, do you know exactly? Do you straight away know why you're tired? Like, what is it that's causing?
Which
the
type
tiredness?
Of tiredness? So, like a muscle fatigue? Yeah, because I was working out.
I mean, like
doing something physical.
Well, I'll give you an example. So, say for myself, I sleep a lot.
Yeah,
and still there will be periods of time throughout the day where I'll start to feel tired. And only because I know that I sleep a lot can I really understand that, oh, cool, it's because I haven't eaten a certain amount of carbs yet. So I need to go eat some more carbs or whatever else it is.
Right.
I see what you're saying. I suppose that, yes, sometimes I get a tiredness and I'm like, I'm not sure exactly where this tiredness is coming from. But what I kind of meant was more when Samuel was describing, like, trying to work out when his body's like, we're just fatigued versus Samuel's body being like, you're hurting me, stop.
Yeah.
That, I don't feel like, I don't know if that's just I don't know what that is, but yeah, I feel like my body has on occasion been like, you are hurting me, stop. And I immediately recognize that as different from.
No, it definitely does. And that's what I mean. It's hard to explain the difference between DOMS and that feeling until you do it.
Yeah.
Once you do it, you will know the difference. Like you'll feel the soreness in the muscle and you'll be like, ooh, that feels, I guess it's the difference between soreness and pain.
Okay.
Yeah. Where it's like, this feels sore, but it's not necessarily, well, maybe this is just because I'm a masochist and I love hurting my body. But like you squeeze the biceps after like the few days after doing curls and you'd be like, oh, I feel so sore, but it's good. Versus like having a little bit of something happen in your back and you're like, ouch, that is a pain in my back.
Yeah, okay. Like for example, the other day, if you'll recall, I did that pull up or whatever, and you both were there, and immediately saw me be like, what are you doing?
Don't do that.
I kind of, well, actually, no, it was my, so the series of events was my other arm was like, I don't feel good. You've hurt me. I don't think I should be working out. And then we were doing a leg day. So obviously I was fine to be at the gym, but I was like, what if you're being stupid? Like I knew, but nonetheless, that masochist thing, I was like, I reckon I could do it. And then my other arm, maybe in sympathy, was like, no.
Stop it. Stop.
And that was actually the arm that gave out. It was the other arm, not even the arm that was like, don't do this.
Yeah.
Essentially
the body saying, we can't do this. You're gonna injure yourself.
I just did a stupid thing and I shouldn't have done it. And I know that.
Sounds crazy. See, to me, I'm like, I always have a baseline of I'm tired. I wake up and I'm just like tired. So I have a baseline of I'm always just generally tired. And then it's kind of like because I had so many chronic injuries. And then it's kind of like you have these periods of, you know, intense working out or periods where you are working out quite a lot, but then as an injury happens and then you sort of stop injuring yourself so you can recover. But then, of course, you fall into that cycle of like, well, now I'm fine. So then you sort of have a period where you're not doing anything and then you sort of go back into it. And then, again, the sort of cycle repeats itself. Mm. And so for me, it's very much like, well, I'm trying to so hard these days to try and
stay injury free.
Yeah. And I'm just so cautious and so wary. But at the same time, am I just like using that? Has my body tricked myself to be like, well, if you think you're going to get injured, maybe don't do anything, and then we don't do anything. Because I think my body and brain are trying to trick me and want me to do a baseline of nothing.
But it's also like that's a little bit more like into the psychology of it. That would cause a lot of negative associations with any sort of exercise.
Yes.
That makes a lot of, like, if every time I started like training hard, you got injured, like I wouldn't want to continue to train either. Like, so that's like, I don't know, I don't think that's wrong. That just makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's shit though. That sucks. What do you find helps you get back in?
Helps push it again? Self-loathing.
Oh yeah, it's a powerful force. Yeah. Definitely more powerful than pain. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
It becomes a kind of pain.
I mean, like, yeah.
But not one you feel on the outside.
It's like that, the sort of situations where you're in one type of pain. So you, I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but you like, there's instances where people typically in like a survival setting will have one type of pain and they'll cause another type of pain, like break a finger or something like that, just to give them a distraction from that original pain.
Yeah. Why do you think people weightlift?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No one weightlifts. Yeah.
My muscle hurts more than my brain hurts.
I think the most common one for me is my back. So I think of every of all the leg days I've ever done, I feel like maybe 1/3 of all leg days, I get like a pain in my lower back, and that pain is. I understand what my body's being like. Something's wrong, and I often will either go easier or change form slightly wherever possible, or notify you if you're there. Yep. I have told you a couple times now, hey, I'm getting like some niggles in my back.
And we go, stop.
Yeah.
Do not go any further.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's like an important thing to understand is that pain is not bad. There's this idea of like, we want to get rid of pain. It's like, no, pain is going to get rid of itself when we listen to it. So pain is just the body telling you that you're doing something it doesn't like, saying that there is something wrong, even to the extent of like, I don't know, when somebody rejects you and you feel bad, the body's like, rejection is a harmful thing. Because in ye olden days, when we were tribal community, if you were rejected by somebody, you'd be kicked out of tribe and that would mean near death for everyone.
That so it's like, mean you go back home and you don't get to win the $1 million.
Yeah, so it's like a survival measure. Sure.
A survivor reference?
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Yeah, of course you didn't. Survivor
is still on.
Oh my God, is that like, show older than you?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh no.
So is most stuff.
When were you born? 2011?
Oh, far out. Oh my
Buck
God.
Adam for a sec.
He's like, maybe. Maybe I won't.
Yeah, maybe I won't. No. What does that say about you guys hanging out with a 9-year-old?
Not good things.
Yeah, no. Taking advice from a 9-year-old.
Yeah, we're letting the 9-year-old train us how to weightlift and shit. That's
bad.
Yeah.
Impressive for the 9-year-old, though.
Yeah, actually, good 10-year-old now.
So this idea that pain is a bad thing, I think we want to kind of change it up a little bit and just kind of look at it from the point of view of like, what is the body? This is like the same thing, like listening to it. What is the body trying to tell us? Trying to get rid of pain is not a good thing because it's ignoring the message that the body is sending. When you feel that like click in your back, you feel it like really get tight and sore, it's because the body's gone, oh, you've done something where we got either pushed it too far and we have really injured yourself and now we have a slip disc and we need that to be addressed through surgery, or you were getting bloody close to that, and now where I don't trust you to keep using your back or moving it for a while, so I'm going to make you hurt so you remember that you did something wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make it so tight in the muscles that you actually can't move it into a position that is going to be harmful to it. So this is why that idea of like when you get injured, you want to massage like the pain, massage the muscles out. It's like, do not massage the muscles out. there is a sort of, there's a tension there that needs to be there because you did something wrong. So let it be there.
That's funny to imagine you tricking your body into being like, it's fine, don't worry about it. Look, what's that over there?
And well, it's like the same thing with icing and inflammation. When we get an injury and the body gets inflamed, all inflammation is the body sending a ton of blood into that area. That's really good. Blood has the nutrients which it needs in order to help heal whatever it is that you've done. So to then ice it to get rid of that blood.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coming like to that, slow down the blood flow, like that's the opposite of what we want.
Coming into that street that's been closed off, all the construction people there being like, fuck off, you're not using this road. And you're like, no, relax, don't worry about it.
That's good. It's good.
Yeah.
Hey, the tire chains, they're gone. Yeah, it's fine.
We can use this.
And they're
this
like, deal. Oh, okay, maybe. And then they walk away and you're like, yep. Tire chains, baby!
Tear that shit up!
Yeah,
do some burnouts, some sick doughies.
As we, the super gym friends, love to do.
Yes. Yeah.
Sick
doughies.
Yes. All day long.
For cool people.
Yeah. We're cool.
Yeah. Okay, so that's like basically going from your in-session kind of recovery, because then again, the longer you wait in between,
a certain
maximum point there can help you lift more, to then just kind of like your...
In between sessions.
Sessions, which is then kind of just like, well, if you trained your legs, wait a couple of days.
And then train them again. Don't let them stay recovered. We want to continue to apply new stimulus once the muscle is recovered. And then this is more towards injury recovery, where if something's injured, leave it be. Do not come in and try and work around an injury. Take the time off that you need.
So that was recovery in terms of an injury. And
for injury, take the time off that you need until you feel fully recovered. And then what I would recommend for everybody who's been in that position is to think about why it is that that injury was caused, because injuries don't just come out of nowhere. And like this was something that one of my mentors was telling me, was he had somebody training with, do a like trial with him, start to train with him with absolutely terrible deadlift form, like extreme arch in their back. And he told them, correct your back, keep a neutral spine, deadlift properly. But because that was eager lifting as a thing, guy was like, no, I could deadlift heavier if I do this. I haven't been injured by it. My back doesn't feel sore. Then like a month later, bends down to pick up a bar of soap, which when we bend down, we're going to have spinal flexion, which is the same thing that we have when you deadlift poorly.
Yes.
The body's made to have some spinal flexion, but when we do it under load, what happens is there's these slow little effects, but he bent down to pick up this soap and all of a sudden slip disc.
Yep.
Fucked up his back terribly. And when he came to talk to my mentor, he was like, yeah, it just came out of nowhere. All of a sudden, like I was just picking up a bar of soap, and it's like, cool. The picking up the bar of soap is not what caused that injury.
That's the straw.
Exactly. So taking the time to review what you have been doing, to figure out what is the real cause of injury, which in this case was shitty deadlift form.
Yeah, right.
Like it is in many cases.
Right.
Deadlifts are hard to do.
Okay.
The other thing we want to think about is between, is like, I guess what we'll call training cycle recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So you and Joel, we were talked about a little bit ago, deloading.
Mm-hmm.
And so deloading is a term used for after a certain amount of weeks of doing a consistent high intensity training for, I'd say really about that 4+ days a week. When you're doing 3 days a week, you get enough recovery that it's probably not necessary. But some hard sessions, long sessions, quite frequently throughout a week, you're going to build up a certain level of central nervous system fatigue. Mm-hmm. To think about like what we talked about before with what the central nervous system is.
I was trying to remember and explain this a while back. Like your nerves get tired.
Essentially, your brain gets tired of sending signals through the nerves.
Yeah.
Into the muscles. Yeah.
And it's a more dangerous type of fatigue?
Not necessarily. It's, once again, it's just another thing to, when we understand it, when we listen to it, it's not dangerous, it's just the body telling us something, where this central nervous system fatigue, the ways that it presents itself is you'll feel far more tired, even if you're getting the same or more sleep than you would be regularly. You can even, if you have like a heart rate monitor, you can check it and see that you're resting heart rate at sleep will usually be higher at the times where you need to start to deload. For men, it will leave a drop in testosterone, which can present itself quite commonly as a drop in libido.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one is a very common one is a decrease in training performance. So your strength will start to go down and you go, cool, I'm doing everything right. I'm eating properly. I'm sleeping properly. I'm pushing hard in training. Why is my strength going down? It's because you need a deload. The way that you should structure a deload is take a week. Normally for people doing that 4 to 5 days a week, pushing it hard, it's normally every 6 to 8 weeks that you'll start to have those recovery issues. And you take a week off where you come into the gym and you do half volume and half intensity. So the way that that works is you do half reps. So half the number of reps that you would be regularly. So instead of 12, we do 6, and then half the weight. So instead of 20 kilos, we're doing 10 kilos. And you do that for the entire week. And then you come back and you hit it hard again. And what you'll find is you'll quickly recover the strength that you may have in quotes lost.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll be able to continue to progress beyond that.
Right. So is this kind of like when you hit a plateau or when you are just feeling just fatigue?
It can be one of the things that causes a plateau for mm-hmm. sure, but normally you'll plateau and then start to go down. So it's
right.
It's like an overreached.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, it can be called overtraining, but I wouldn't, I'd be hesitant to label it as overtraining. Overtraining okay. is a much more like serious issue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where this is like, you have a period of drop in progress just as your body's like, cool. I'm a bit too tired for this.
I guess this is trying to get into that mindset of like, if people be like, but I missed a whole week, I'm going to lose those gains, or I'm going to lose those strength. It's kind of like, in the long term, a week isn't going to matter. A week isn't going to really, you know, make you lose those gains.
Yep.
If anything, a week off or a week of half weight is going to improve.
Well, the reason, so up to 10 days mm-hmm. with absolutely no stimulus on the muscle, so no training, you will not see any decrease in performance. There may be an acute decrease in strength just because your body's not quite, it's like has to wake up to having heavy stimulus on it again,
mm-hmm.
but no chronic adaptations, no real adaptations. You will not have any decrease in those.
Hmm.
With that, the reason that it is still good to do, so that's why the reasons that we do those half volume, half intensity sessions during that deload week, the main reason I would say is just to keep the consistency of training so that you don't fall off, like keep those habits in place where you're coming in, even though you're not pushing it hard, you're still in there. So you're not going to be like, oh, well, I didn't go last week, so I guess I won't go this week.
Very
so, no, you went last.
Yes.
Exactly. So you went last week, so you're going to be going this week as well.
Hmm.
Even though last week you didn't push it very hard.
Right.
You weren't meant to push it hard. And that's the point.
Gotcha.
The other thing is when we think about going back to quite a few episodes ago, we talked about minimum effective volume. So the minimum effective volume, so the amount of stimulus that you need to apply to the body in order to maintain the muscle that you have,
yeah,
is very, very low.
Okay, that's good to
it's
hear.
So it's about a quarter
yeah,
of
Yeah, I was
what,
about to say, I remember this one. It's yeah, about a quarter.
Yeah, about a quarter of what you need in order to make them grow. So the fact that we're doing half of each means you're really going to be comfortably hitting that minimum effective volume or minimum effective like
just
intensity essentially. Yeah, just for upkeep where it's not going to be challenging enough that you're going to continue to apply central nervous system fatigue, but it's going to be enough that you're going to maintain if you're really worried about losing muscle, which you won't over that 7 days. But if you are worried, it's just going to make sure that you don't at all.
Okay.
And hey, you know what's worse than losing a little bit of muscle? Not being able to work out ever again because you broke your back.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Listen to your body, guys.
All right. I'll do my best.
Because you were your own bane.
Yeah. So I guess to summarize, so we've got the in-session recovery, which is just having a little bit of a break between sets.
So optimally in-session recovery for compounds to really optimize for it.
Yep.
You have to keep in mind that there will be time constraints for everybody with their schedules, but to optimize, trying to go for that 3 to 5 minutes between compounds, heavy compound lifts.
Yep.
For isolations, getting that 1 to 2 minutes, trying to keep it closer to the 2 minutes, will be most optimal.
All right, so that's the in session. Then you have between sessions,
yep,
which is again either going for, because you don't want to have like a week between leg days. You kind of want to have that maybe 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, so.
And that's kind of comes down to your planning your session. So you're planning
the way you do your split.
Yeah. So you have that. Then you have, I guess, recovery for injuries, which can, I guess, be varied and really needs to kind
just
of.
Just enough that you don't feel the injury anymore. Do not work past it and make sure you think about why the injury was created and address the reason for that creation after it's recovered.
Yeah, right.
And then...
My good friend wasn't hitting me in the back with rocks and
I know.
So, I was just too busy running away from that giant bird.
Exactly. It's always scary. Okay. And so I guess for that, it's mostly like you need to kind of focus and go back to really goals when it comes down to like what you have. It really should be less about trying to be bumpy and more about, well, not injuring yourself.
Well, not even that it's trying to be bumpy. It's not even that you have to change that. It's that the best way to be bumpy is not to injure yourself. 100%. So that's not the new goal. That's just like the underlying goal of everyone.
Because
it should be. If it's not,
it should be.
It should be.
To be pain-free or at least injury-free. And then we have...
between session.
Between...
Or between training cycles, we'll say.
Which is, I guess, more for your high-end gym goal.
Yeah, somebody who's been there for a while and can push it to that higher intensities. Yeah, you're going to go for about 6 to 8 weeks. Listen to your body. This is where that listening to the body becomes really important, where you go, cool, I'm feeling really tired, but I'm sleeping. I normally would sleep out at 8 hours a night. Now I'm sleeping 9 hours and I'm feeling more tired than when I slept 8. Something's up. I need a deload. So take that week off.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess that's recovery.
Hell yeah.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Adam.
And I've been Zach.
Happy lifting. Thanks for listening to Super Gym Friends. Once again, we are not medical doctors, physiotherapists, or dietitians. We are, at best, bumbling fuckwits. So please check with a healthcare professional before making any changes. If you want to get in touch, send us an email at supergymfriends@gmail.com. And to continue the conversation, head on over to our Sandspans Discord or Facebook group. Links to those are in the show notes.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.